Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so much for gathering us, your people, this morning. Thank you for setting aside a time and a place so that your set-apart people, us, your church, can gather together in your name to worship and praise you and to hear your message being preached and proclaimed. So I pray that you will open our hearts, open the ears of our hearts so that we can all receive what you have to say to us this morning. Help us to put your word into our lives, into our practices. Be with those who are not here this morning. I pray that you will guide them, and we pray for them. We pray that you will continue to be glorified in our midst. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I am a child of the 60s, and growing up in the 70s, in Hong Kong, I already knew about McDonald's. All of you know McDonald's. And do you know that McDonald's has a slogan that has been going way back to the 70s? It says, "You deserve a break today." And then this is not a slogan that is only common in North America. It went all the way back to Hong Kong, and it's a picture that I showed this morning's Chinese congregation. Let them remember this slogan, "You deserve a break today." And that's what McDonald's has been telling us all these decades. And but I think we can all relate to that, can't we? I guess in this day, in this high-stress, super busy lifestyle of ours, we all feel that we need a break from life from time to time, don't we? Just to catch our breath, to find our bearings, to do the things that we really enjoy. And do you get the feeling that if you don't get a break soon, you will simply break? How many of you feel stressed right now in your life by the busyness of either life or school, anything in your life? I guess now that school is over, some of you who are students may not feel stressed. But are you stressed? Are you busy? Are you doing things all the time with no time to rest? And how many of you feel tired? Yeah. We feel tired. And when we feel tired from our business, what do we want? We want a break, don't we? But the break that the world has taught us to want, like McDonald's, is very different from the answer that God has for our weary soul. God has an answer for us. It's different from the world. Sabbath is something that is different from what the world promotes. According to my region professor, Paul Stevens, the world promotes leisure. Okay, leisure. But God prescribes Sabbath. Sabbath comes from a Hebrew word, Shabbat. Shabbat simply is related to the word Shabbat, which means to rest, to stop, to quit what you're doing. In the Bible, the word Shabbat carries the meaning of rest. Okay? And plain old Sabbath can be too easily ignored next to the glamorous and the glamour and the popularity of worldly leisure. So let me share how Paul Stevens compares the two ideas, leisure versus Sabbath. There's certain things that they have in common. They are not completely opposite. They have something that in common. What are they? First, they both recharge your battery and are enjoyable. Okay, you enjoy your leisure, and leisure can let you re-energize, revitalize you, and so can Sabbath. And they are both playful and deliberately non-productive. Okay, when you are enjoying your leisure, you don't earn any money. You don't want to make anything in particular. You just enjoy that time. Sabbath is the same thing. It's the same way. And when we rest before God, we are playful before Him. We don't have particularly an agenda to do. God does not expect us to produce anything other than just to enjoy His presence, worshiping Him. So they are the same, similar anyways, but that's where the similarities end. These are the differences. Leisure is self-chosen. You choose when or how and what kind of activities you want to spend your leisure time. The Sabbath is commanded by God. Over and over again in the Old Testament, God commanded his people to keep and remember the Sabbath. Leisure is self-centered. It's all about me. But Sabbath is God-centered. It's about God. Leisure offers relief from work. Sometimes throughout the week, we work so hard. I want to take a break now because work is just so nasty. And then we want a relief from it. And leisure offers us that. But Sabbath, it inspires work. So that after you have rested in a Sabbath, you are full with energy, you're filled with energy and excitement so that you can go back to work and, hey, I can do this much better. Now I can do it. Leisure is focused on pleasure, where Sabbath is focused on meaning. They're very different in how they orient our vision of what rest really is. Now, even as early as 4 decades ago in the 70s, Gordon Dow said this. He said, leisure has come to mean little more than an ever more furious orgy of consumption. Okay. This virtuous materialism offers men the choice of either working themselves to death or consuming themselves to death, or both. Which way are you? Have you worked yourself to death? Or have you played yourself to death? Or have you done both? I know there's a saying in our society that goes, work hard, play harder, right? I think some kind of company or sports equipment has used that as a tagline. There's actually a recent country song that has the same title, work hard, play harder. And that's the mentality that Dahl is saying here that gets us into working ourselves to death or consuming or amusing ourselves to death. Now this morning, I want to offer you people who work hard and maybe play harder, the biblical alternative of the double error of workaholism and worldly pleasure. They're both dead end streets. And God, in the scripture, offers us Sabbath rest. Now, today we are talking about this topic on Article 16 of our Confession of Faith on work, rest, and the Lord's Day. And so let us look at what Sabbath is and why it's important to us. Now, the idea of Sabbath rest is actually very simple, according to the fourth commandment in Exodus 20. Here it is. Let me read it to you from the ESV. It says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But on the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourners who is within your gate. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Okay, you see, simple idea. You work 6 days in a week, and you rest 1 day and do no work. Okay? Now this commandment refers to God's work of creation in the beginning. Okay, look at verse 11. Refers to God's creation in the beginning. So it is helpful for us to think about the whole thing, this Sabbath rest idea, in the context of the creation of humanity. Okay? Remember Genesis chapter 2, chapter 3, okay? Chapter 1 and 2. Okay? From the creation account, we see that God has established a pattern of working and resting for us. Okay? By setting us an example and calling us to follow. You see, God made the whole world in 6 days. And he stopped at the end on the seventh day. Okay? And in the same way, God is calling humanity, you and I, to follow. To work 6 days and to rest in one. Okay. See, the Bible presents a revolutionary idea in the ancient time, that God is actually the first worker. In the Babylonian myth, the gods of the Babylonians didn't want to work, so they created humanity so that they can serve them. When the Bible, Genesis, tells us that God is the first one who works, and He's calling people not to be just slaves, but to join Him in taking care of this earth, this world that He has created. So, people are made to work as well as to rest in the presence of God. The Sabbath rest is God's calling for you as much as work is. So we all understand that work is our calling, and we even have a word for it, right? Vocation. Okay. When we said vocation, we usually mean your occupation, your kind of work, right? And that word actually came from the Latin word to call. God has a vocation for you. And usually we understand meaning work, but in Scripture it also is a calling for us to rest, to follow His example, work and rest. Okay, but in our world, in our society, and sometimes even in our churches, we are not exempted. We have fallen into a double tendencies. We have a tendency of seeing work and rest. Both of them apart from God. The tendency of seeing both work and rest apart from God. Okay, what I mean by that, we see work as our means of survival, as something that makes us important, or what gives us our identity and meaning in life. That's how we see work. Okay, it's very simple to see that as true. I don't know how many of you have been unemployed. Okay, so you've been working, and suddenly you lost a job. And while you're waiting for your next job, you know how uneasy that feels? How uncomfortable it feels? You don't know. Sometimes you feel like you don't know what you're doing in life. Okay, we feel insecure because we don't have something that we can use to earn our living with. Okay. And sometimes we attach our sense of honor and identity with our work, by the positions that we hold, by the titles that appears on our desk, on our door, office door. Okay. We sometimes when we meet somebody new, we say, "Hi, I'm Marcus," and "Hello, how are you? What do you do?" That's the next question. After learning their name, we usually want to find out what they do, because in our mind, what we do defines who we are. So that's why a lot of people, when they get retired, they're in trouble. Because for all their life, they have been known as the director of so-and-so or whatever department. But now that they don't have that title, they don't know what to do with themselves. Some people, when they have that kind of mentality, they do not last retirement very long. Now, on the other side, we can see rest as a deserved break. Just like McDonald's that says, you deserve a break today. We think it is a time that we don't have to care about what's honoring to God as long as it's fun for us. So that's how our attitude towards rest. Okay? But what's wrong with seeing work and rest apart from God? There is some real danger to seeing work and rest apart from God. Okay? When we forget that both work and rest are God's calling for us to live joyfully in His presence, and they are not ends in themselves, we make idols out of them. We make idols out of our work, and we make idols out of our rest. And idols are cruel masters. They demand excessive allegiance. They suck the life out of you. Have you ever felt your work draining your life away? Okay. Even for those of you who are not working yet, you're a student. You study like 6 days a week. I don't know whether you study 7 days a week. I don't recommend it. Okay, take one day off, please. Tell your parents, I told you so. Take one day off. Okay. We work, we feel the life sucked out of us. But more ironically, have you ever returned from an expensive vacation feeling even more burnt out than you started? We do that, we play ourselves to death. I have a personal example, not very nice to share, but it's true, so I'll share it. Just recently, I went to Florida to Disney World. How many of you have been to Disney World or Disneyland? Anyone, anything like that, theme park, you know how it is, right? You wake up early in the morning, you want to get there before they open the door so that you can get in right before the crowd gets busy, right? And you grab the itinerary and study where the attractions are and when the events are. You want to hit all of them. And you push like that until the fireworks. Then you go home, okay? For several days straight, whatever pass you get for visiting the park. And after that, I feel worn. I feel, I need a few more days off after coming back home. I need to recover from this. Okay. I know sometimes that cannot be helped, but sometimes that really reflects how we look at our rest. And every week, we do the same. Okay. Friday comes around, we party. Okay. I know many of us in church, we don't do that. That's not our lifestyle, but sometimes we do share that kind of mentality. Okay. Now, if Sabbath rest is God's calling for us, then how is it good for us? What benefits does it have? Well, one of the reasons practicing Sabbath rest is beneficial for us is that it puts work into perspective. Okay. Remember earlier I said that the danger is that we put both work and rest out of perspective, apart from God, without reference to God. But Sabbath rest puts us in a place where we can see work in this proper place, in the proper light. Okay? First, it allows us to see our work in light of God's creation and redemption. Okay? I've already read for you from Exodus 20, verse 11, okay, where Sabbath day is said to be a reminder of God's creation. God created in 6 days and he rested on the seventh. Therefore, we are invited to participate in this Sabbath rest. But in Deuteronomy 5:15, it gives a different reason for the Sabbath. It says, "You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." Okay. Here in this passage, God is reminding his people that he has saved them from Egypt. Okay. Sabbath, therefore, is a reminder of God's mighty work in the past, whether it's the act of creation or the act of redemption. And whatever meaning our work has today, it has to be grounded in God's greater work of creation and redemption. We have to put whatever we do into context of creation and redemption. God has already done these things in the past. And we can approach work today with a completely different perspective. Okay, let me share a few points why this is so and how this is so. Okay. First, we work because God is the first worker, as I said earlier. Okay, and we are called to imitate him. Okay, that's how we ground our work in the context of God's creation. But furthermore, another point, we get to work only because God has made the world such a place where work is possible. Okay, think about that. We can only work in a world that God has made in which work is possible. Okay, put your imagination back into the time of the Old Testament, when the Israelites were hearing these commands from God. Most of them were still sort of nomadic, okay? Once they settled into the land of Israel, they would plant vineyards, grain, whatever. But in any case, their work would be mainly agricultural, okay? Farming and cattle raising, okay? Now, all that work depends on God. If God did not make the grain of seed that they sow in the ground germinate, if that grain of seed is just a piece of sand or rock that has no life in it, how can they produce a harvest? Then work will be completely futile. The world is a fruitful place. It's a productive place. And it's already productive before we get there. Before humanity is placed on the stage, God has made it fruitful. And we are merely participating with God's work of creation. And lastly, about God's work of redemption then. What about that? Okay. Because God has redeemed us, our work is no longer a form of slavery. You know, the Israelites, when they were in Egypt, everything they did was for the Egyptians. Okay. Their work didn't really have any meaning to themselves. They were slaves. But God reminded them, because God has redeemed them out of Egypt, now they no longer worked as slaves. They were free people. Their work has meaning, and they are serving God. And now they have a new master whom they serve, a God that loves them, and then whatever they do is an expression of service to God. Colossians 3:23-24 carries this message for us in the New Testament. Paul says, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. Okay? Do you see? Whatever you do, wherever you work, whether it's in the office, whether it's out on the street, in a retail store, however secular your workplace might be, work at it heartily, the Bible tells us. Because we are not working for men. We are working for God. Now, when we see our work in the light of God's creation and redemption in the past, we are prompted to give thanks to Him. But secondly, the Sabbath rest also allows us to see our work in light of God's provision. God's provision. God wants us to stop producing for just one day a week. Okay? Just in case we forget that He is our provider and not we ourselves. And sometimes we take work so seriously, we think that once if we stop working, our whole life will collapse. Okay? To put it in the context of students, okay, so you may not work 9 to 5 days a week. For students, I've been there. Sometimes I think that if I don't pull a all weekend study session during crunch time, okay, final exams are coming up. If I don't just study through the weekend, plow right through it, then I will fail this course. I thought that. Some of you may think that too. God is asking us, let go, take it easy. Okay. The money that you receive, the grades that you get by working hard, it's not from your own effort. It's from me. I provide. I'm the one that provides. You work with me and you rest with me. Someone has said, if you cannot drop your work for just one day a week, you are taking yourself way too seriously. Are we doing that? Are we taking ourselves way too seriously? When the Israelites were in the desert, remember that story? God told them not to gather food on the seventh day. Okay? They found no food in the wilderness. God sent them manna from heaven, bread from heaven. All they had to do is to go every morning, collect, and that's their work. Just gather the manna into their tents, and they have food. Okay? But God told them, on the sixth day, you're going to collect, and you're going to get twice as much. Your needs will be taken care of on the Sabbath day. So don't worry. Okay? And so, in the same way, when we see our work in the light of God's provision in the present, right now, we are prompted to trust in Him. Trust in Him. It doesn't all ride on us. Yes, we need to work hard. We need to do our part. But we cannot pretend that it all depends on us. as if God is not helping us and supplying all our needs. Thirdly, Sabbath rest allows us to see our work in the light of God's ultimate rest. In the light of God's ultimate rest. What we do in the here and now has consequences and meaning in the hereafter. Okay? Like I said, no matter what kind of secular work you do, sometimes as Christians, we get this secular-sacred divide. We think that only church work has eternal significance. Only if we share the gospel, does it last for eternity. But work done for God, no matter in what kind of context, has eternal consequences and meaning. Sometimes, however, our hearts grow restless because our earthly work seems so wearisome and unrewarding. We don't see why we're doing it. We don't see any result. We keep working hard and hard and nothing. There's nothing to show for it. But God has promised us His reward. Remember that verse from Colossians. Okay, even as we're serving as a slave in a house, a maidservant, okay, we are serving God. And God has His reward, His inheritance as a reward for us. We don't have to lose heart when our work, when our bodies are wearied and wasting away. Our sin-infected body cannot work forever in a sin-infected world. Our hope is that one day our Heavenly Father will hold our hand and say, "That's enough, child. That's enough. Okay. You have done well. It's time to come home and rest." That's our ultimate rest. That's our ultimate rest. So in our weekly Sabbath, as we rest before God every day, we are actually participating, anticipating, and we are rehearsing that eventual rest that we have in God. That we can lay everything down and look at what our lives, look at what we have done with God. And God will say, "Well done. That's enough. It's time to rest." When we see our work in the light of God's ultimate rest in the future, we are prompted to hope in Him. Now that we know that Sabbath rest is beneficial, is helpful for us, it's time to talk about the practicality of how and when. How do we do this Sabbath? How do we keep the Sabbath? When do we do it? It's a very controversial topic among Christians because we have different denominations and different individual Christians who have different perspectives on this point. For many Christians, the Sabbath day of the Old Testament is identical to the Lord's Day in the New Testament. Okay? In other words, they think that Sunday, on which we come to worship, is exactly the same as the Old Testament Sabbath. So whatever Old Testament says about the commandments about Sabbath, they apply to Sunday. Okay? That particular point of view was particularly strong among the Puritans, among the Presbyterians after the Reformation. You see some of that perspective even in the movie Chariot of Fire. Remember the story of Eric Liddell? He wouldn't run on Sunday, right? Because in his church tradition, Sunday was a Sabbath day. Okay? Now, I completely respect people who see that point of view, but I have some serious problem, both theologically and biblically, about identifying the Sabbath in the Old Testament with the Lord's Day in the New Testament, because I see in the Bible that they are not quite the same. Okay? How are they not quite the same? Well, first, the dates are different. Okay? The Sabbath in the Old Testament was on the seventh day of the week, that is Saturday. Okay? Because God rested on the seventh day. And they kept the Sabbath on the Saturday, from sundown Saturday to sundown, from sundown on Friday night to sundown on Saturday evening. The Lord's Day, however, in the New Testament is the first day, Sunday, because Jesus rose from the dead on Sunday. And ever since that time, Christians have met on this day, Sunday, to celebrate his resurrection. Okay, so nowhere in the Old Testament does it suggest that the date for the Sabbath is changeable. That is Saturday now, but eventually, well, you can change it to some other day. Okay, nowhere in the New Testament does it state that the Lord's Day is replacement of the Sabbath. Okay, so the dates are different. Secondly, what's more, the purposes are different between the Sabbath and the Lord's Day. Okay, the purpose of Sabbath is mainly, primarily, to rest and to delight in God's presence. Rest and delight in God's presence, wherever you are. Okay. Even when the temple of Jerusalem was destroyed, Jews were still expected to rest on the Sabbath, keep the Sabbath day. Okay. They might have synagogues, but even if they did not have synagogues, they would still keep the Sabbath day. Okay. So that was the primary reason. Even though, sure enough, in the Old Testament, Israelites clearly also worshipped on the Sabbath. Okay. That was what they did. However, the purpose of the Lord's Day is initially for Jesus' followers to worship together. Okay. With no clear link to rest. Okay. Sunday wasn't a day of rest for Christians in the early church. Okay. Notice that? Okay, see the difference? Okay. It wasn't a sort of a holiday until the Roman Empire had made Christianity the official religion of the empire. But you may ask, can I worship and rest on the same day? Well, absolutely. Absolutely. You can rest and worship on the same day. That's the way it has been for the Jews for centuries. And that's why for many Christians, Sunday is their day of worship as well as the day of rest. Okay? But for many people, I don't just mean pastors and ministers who obviously work on Sunday. But there are other people who work out of necessity on Sunday. And there are other Christians who volunteer to the extent that Sunday may really feel like a work day. I don't know whether many of you are like that, but when I was a lay person, if you want to call that, I wasn't paid for my ministry. I was like that. Okay, get to church early, practice for choir, okay, get ready for church, be chairperson, teach Sunday school, lead Bible study, deacon's board meeting, you name it, right? It goes on and on. And Sunday can be very tiring. Okay. My point is this, that just because you come here on Sunday does not mean that you have rested. You get me? Do you get me? Just because you have come here on Sunday does not mean that you have rested. Make sure that you have a weekly time of worship as well as a weekly time of rest. They can be the same if it works out, but because of necessity, it doesn't work out like that. We need to be creative. We need to come with a way so that we can have regular Sabbath rest before God. Okay? So, how are we going to do that? How do we spend our weekend? How do we spend this 48 hours that most of us have from Saturday to Sunday? Assuming that we have that kind of weekend, and I think more and more people are not having that kind of regular work week because our society has changed gradually so that our work week is all shift-based. Many of us are shift-based. Okay, and so assuming that is the case, how do we do that? Now, I know that there's always a danger of slipping into legalism when we get into the nitty-gritty of the actual practice of keeping Sabbath. That's a danger. We have to watch out for that. But let me suggest to you that you need to mark out for yourself a continuous block of 24 hours, sometime in your weekend or sometime during your day off. Mark our continued 24-hour periods when you can really put your work aside. Okay? Not even to think about it. Not only turn your BlackBerry off. Okay, turn your email notifications off from your work. Just put it aside.
And spend time in prayer, spend time in fellowshipping with God, nurturing relationships with people that are close to you, your family, your friends, your neighbors, and engage in creative play. Okay. What are the activities that you enjoy that spur up your creativity? Whether you're into gardening, or art, or music, or just wandering through the woods, enjoying God's creation. We can do that as creative play. And for those of us who have non-standard work weeks, you need to be even more creative and intentional about practicing Sabbath rest. A Sabbath rest is God's gift to us. We stay healthy both in body and in our soul when we practice Sabbath rest. And we ignore it to our own hurt. It's not a legalistic bondage. Please don't take it as that. That's what's wrong with the Pharisees in Jesus' time. They took Sabbath as a legalistic requirement to earn the favor with God. But Sabbath rest is a command that truly sets us free to be human, so that we can truly be the image bearers that God has created us to be. So let us conclude this morning's message by turning over to our liturgical reading. You have that in your bulletin. I have it on the screen as well. And please read the bold print with me, and I will just read the regular print. Please stand with me and let's read together. In 6 days, the Lord God made the heavens and the earth and everything in them. O Lord, you are the caretaker of creation and weaver of the world. You have blessed us, your creatures, with labor, and asked us to work honestly and with integrity, employing our skills in ways that tell the world that we are serving you. Help us to treat all workers with respect, and remember those who are without work, that they may find a true calling in you. On the seventh day, God finished all the work of his hand, and he rested from all his labors. O Lord, you thought it a good thing to pause, reflect, enjoy what you have done. Help us to do the same. Help us to rest, thankful for our daily bread. Help us to rest, enjoying a sweet foretaste of eternal peace. Help us to rest, relying on your goodness and not on our own activity. Help us to worship you, the giver of every perfect gift. And slow us down so that we can be still and know that you are God. On the first day of creation, God said, "Let there be light." On the day of new creation, God said, "Let the light of Christ shine out of darkness, the glory of God in the face of Jesus." We celebrate Jesus' triumph over the grave by gathering on the first day of the week for praise and prayer. We celebrate the promised gift from the Father, the Holy Spirit poured out on God's people by gathering on the first day of the week for teaching and sharing. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Please be seated.